Welcome to another episode of Titanic. This is part two of my two-parter episode, Unsinkable Titanic Untold, at the Pasadena International Film Festival. If you have not listened to part one, I interview actress Jane Weisner, who plays Maggie Malloy in the film. She was a joy to talk to. She gave a lot of great insight, and I urge you to go listen to that first. I also urge you to wait to listen to this episode until you've seen the film. Unless you want some spoilers, that is your discretion, and don't you come for me on the social medias. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to tell you all about it and about more content coming to Titanic. Titanic with more content and probably more curse words. Sorry, not sorry. Hey, Titanic listeners, not so long, no talk. I've actually been keeping up with you guys as part of my rebrand plan, aka I'm just like committing more finally because I realized like things are important to me and I had to kind of take my own approach to this podcast now. Like, I'm not a historian. I'm a pop culture girly. I work in the entertainment industry. I like weird, spooky shit. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I know everything there is to know about the Titanic and I am a historian and such. I'm going to be like, I'm a Titanic girl. Like, one of the weirdos that was obsessed with the Titanic or the Black Plague or whatever else morbid shit I could get my hands on. Shout out to the podcast Morbid. I love them. I listen to it all the time. Elena and Ash. Not that you would ever listen to my podcast, but if for some reason you happen upon it, I will tag you guys. Your podcast gets me through my work days, my commutes, and I love it. And it inspired me to let my freak flag fly, which is why I've been going kind of so hard on like doing weird things, guys. I just sniffed right into the microphone. And it's going to stay there. So guys, I promised you a part two about Unsinkable. And I'm going to get into that. But first, I just want to highlight a few things. It's Titanic anniversary weekend. So I know that there's a lot of cool stuff going on. Titanic Book Club has events for anybody here in the LA Orange County area. They're doing a whole weekend gathering over in Long Beach at the Queen Mary. So I will be over there on Sunday for the Royal Brunch starting at 10 a.m. Period dresses is encouraged, and boy, do I have a blouse, and I am so ready to wear it. I will be foregoing a hat. I will not be foregoing a period-styled hairdo or blowout, maybe. I don't know. I'm very excited. I just did the sniff thing again, guys. Whatever. I have yet to be on the Queen Mary. I went to the Queen Mary for Halloween two Halloweens ago, right after a spout of COVID. So we were like, let's do something outside. And we went to Shacktoberfest, a Halloween fest DJ'd and hosted by Shaq at some point during its like 2 week run. Not the night we were there, but we did have a good time. And you got to party outside of the Queen Mary. So at that time, it still was not open. Now it's open. Royal Brunch is back. People are staying there. And the Titanic Book Club is taking full advantage of that and having a gathering on there. They're doing Edwardian era hats. They're doing a meet and greet. They're doing a Q&A. They're doing a talk back with some extras from the 1997 film, where I was like, hell yeah, extras, cash in on that money or exposure or whatever the hell. Like, good for you. Like, let's talk about if you had to pee in the water and you know, the poisoning with the PCP and the clam chowder and stuff. So yeah, I actually work with somebody who was also a PA on the film and can confirm it was horrendous, they said. So Hopefully I could talk to him about that. I would love to get some more tea on it. But anyways, Titanic Book Club. And then they're doing a screening tomorrow of Unsinkable, obviously what we're talking about, at the Regal Cinemas in Long Beach. There's also a memorial in the chapel on Monday. Sadly, Long Beach is very far away from where I, not very far away, it is far away from where I work. So I will not be attending the memorial, which kind of sucks. Because I care so much about, like, the people and the stories and the lives that were lost in the soul of the ship itself and the memory. So that sucks. I can't join you guys on that. But I will be there at the brunch. I don't know if anybody who listens to this is at the brunch. Come say hi. I'm going to be wearing a blue lace blouse. I'll be there with my fiancé, who looks like Heath Ledger and Joseph Gordon-Levitt had a baby. So if you see us stuffing our faces with crab legs, come say hey. If you don't, I'll be super sad. If I get a DM that's like, hey, I was there, but I didn't come say hi, I will hunt you down and I will kill you. Just kidding. No, I would be really sad, though. I'd be like, oh, no, come say hi. I want friends. Or no one will come approach me at all. and I will realize my place in the world. Okay. Yeah, I hope you guys are liking the content too. That's the other thing I want to talk about. Just some new content. I put out a Titanic playlist. I'm going to do like one thing a week, ideally two episodes a month, a tarot reading and a, playlist, right? So kind of like shifting and stuff, more posts, more interaction. I'm doing a giveaway, guys, trying to get to 600 followers. I am like, I have far more listeners than I do on social media, and it's driving me absolutely cuckoo bananas because I am, so many people in Germany listen to this. Like, shout out Germany. Big fan. Was ist los? That's the extent of my German, pretty much. Or du bist das Hammer. I'm not very good at it anymore. But anyways, I do speak German. Or I did speak German. I'm out of practice. So cool. That's cool. But I need you guys to head on over to the social media and please follow me on there. There is a post. It is pinned on my grid where you like, tag three people, share it to your story, and follow the account. You got to follow Titanic. I think it says that on there. Maybe I forgot to put it on there and that's why. Anyways, I'm pretty sure it says it on there. That's the whole gimmick. And I'm giving away Harney & Sons Titanic tea in a tea tin that has Titanic, tea tin, Titanic, Titanic from Titanic. Say that 12 times fast to warm up for whatever Shakespearean play you're about to recite. And then I'm giving away a metal or steel tumbler with a straw and like a cleaning brush so you can do hot or iced coffee in it. I'm an iced coffee girly, so I like my cups to be able to have iced coffee and a straw. And then the final thing I'm giving away is a set of two ceramic coasters. So you got a little nice little tea kit. It's a lot of shit, guys. Like, I could give you guys one thing and that should be enough for 600 followers. But like, I really want to give back. And there's a lot of people who are listening to this and there's a lot of people that have been in my DMs, especially since my Raise the Titanic episode where I just really like blew that whole thing up. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it since then. I have seen some other people put out podcasts about it. I know another account reached out to me and asked to use my content for their live stream. I said no. I encourage you to do your own research, but like, I will support whatever you do. So like the words are getting out there. I'm happy about that. If anyone would like me to speak to anything for their own content, I'm happy to join you and speak, on behalf, but, I can't, I don't feel good about sharing the work that I have put into, creating the content that I put out and my feelings. I mean, they're just my personal feelings. So, and facts, of course, too. But, so yeah. What was my train of thought there, guys? Oh, the giveaway. Do the giveaway, guys. This is crazy. This is like the fifth time I've been like, hello, anybody? Maybe the algorithm is swallowing my content. I don't know. I can't figure out Instagram for shit. And I've had it since it was birthed. Not since I was birthed, since it was birthed. I am 33. Okay. No, I'm 32. I will be 33. Basically 33. The year of Christ. I am Christ age soon. Okay. Anyways. And then the next thing, playlists. I released the playlist. It was unsinkable, or it was unsinkable. Oh my God. I'm living in that world. It is that sinking feeling. So all the songs kind of give you that like sad, moody breakup vibe type of thing. A breakup's not happening. It's just kind of like how I was feeling. And I was like, oh yeah. And then Beyonce drops Titanic Water in her new song Daughter. And I was like, got to put that in there. So yeah, so I'll be releasing different types of playlists and genres. And then my first tarot card reading is available on the Titanic Instagram page as well. It is to finish off Aries season, which is ending next week. And then I will jump in and do Taurus season and move into Gemini and so on and so forth once a month. I will be doing it the way that I did it, where I kind of just, I pull the cards. The writing there is my interpretation of the cards. I do study tarot. I do practice tarot. I do practice divination and mindfulness and those kind of things. If that's not your jam, totally fine. I for sure get that. It is my jam, as well as I do go to Catholic Church on Sundays. So I'm kind of a mixed bag. So yeah, I hope you guys like that and have a feedback, a positive feedback on that. If not, I will hex you. Maybe, probably not. I will be doing it that way though too, because I just don't like to be on camera as I'm like feeling spirit, like my face looks weird and like, I don't know. So I was like, let's just focus on my hands and the cards, and that made me feel better about it. I felt really uncomfortable. And if you would like to know, I will have a better manicure next time. I'm sorry, my nail popped off. Also, I realized that nail popped off when I was interviewing Jane. And so you can see it in all the videos too. I was like, oh, it's so embarrassing. Speaking of Jane Weisner, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. She is sweet as pie. It was so fun to talk to her. I called it in the interview with her. If you listened, I was like, if you were Harry Potter house, you would be a Ravenclaw. This girl went to Warner Brothers studio when she was hanging here in LA, and she got sorted by the Sorting Hat, and guess what it called? It was Ravenclaw. So this Slytherin knows her Hogwarts houses. I could be a headmaster. Trans rights matter. J.K. Rowling sucks. Okay. So let's get... Oh, I want to get into this, but I also got to tell you guys, in the midst of all of the things I've been releasing, something awful happened to me. And focusing my stress energy and stuff on you guys and creating content helped me. My car was broken into and very violently vandalized last Tuesday night before Pasadena Film Festival. I had just went to Disneyland with a friend of mine. And we had a great day, and we did like the Food and Wine Festival, and we had a bunch of really good food and some yummy non-alcoholic drinks, and went on a bunch of rides, and it was really great. We had such a beautiful day. I was like a little Dalmatian, and she was dressed like Cruella de Vil, and it was really cute. And I came home and parked my car in my own apartment garage. Went upstairs, and in a span of 20 minutes from when I went upstairs and my fiance took the dogs out, someone broke into my car by bending the door frame, trying to break in with a vape on the driver's side and then eventually smashing the passenger's window. I don't keep things in my car because I'm not a fucking idiot. The only thing I had in my car was a air pump, like a mobile air pump for my tire, because LA, shit happens and you better pull over and put air in your tire sometimes if you're stuck in traffic and your tire thing goes off. Air tire thing. I know cars. And I, oh my God, my neighbor sneezed. Bless you, bitch. I hope you're good. Okay. My Stanley cup was in there. Didn't take the Stanley cup. Like, I don't keep things in there. I have a dash cam in there. Obviously it wasn't running because my car wasn't on, but I have like a thing that says like spells, and like I have a Twilight bumper sticker that says this is the soul of a killer Bella because I drive a Kia Soul, and apparently they're very easy to steal, which sucks. And yeah, so that was the guy's basis, was he was trying to get in. My fiance caught the guy. My fiance, bless his heart, loves a good superhero Batman moment and chased after this guy. And luckily, this guy did not have a weapon, so nothing happened to my fiance, but obviously it could have been really bad. I was able to get my car in. I had some savings. I was able to take care of that and get everything fixed. And just, I had the privilege of working from home. Nothing worse happened to me. So I'm very grateful for that. But through all the content I've been putting out, that's actually what's been going on with me behind the scenes. So I'm just very grateful to have this podcast and to have people liking and sharing and interacting with me was really what really kept my spirits up. I am a crying bitch. Let me tell you something. Waterworks galore. I feel very hard and very deeply. And I didn't cry once. I was like, oh, this fucking solar eclipse. Oh, Mercury retrograde. Can you believe it? I just got home from Disneyland. And like the forensics officer that came and actually like took DNA from my car because the dumbass bled all over my car. I had to get it cleaned, hazmat cleaned, and he dropped his vape, which had DNA on it. Like, this guy was a bad criminal. Like, not even a good criminal, sir. Like, what was your plan here? But yeah, so not great. Yeah, I don't know. I was saying something about the forensics officer, but oh, I was like laughing with her about books and Twilight and stuff because I was wearing a Twilight t-shirt and I have a Twilight bumper sticker. And she was like, do you like Twilight? And I was like, what's Twilight? What do you mean? So yeah, it's been a really crazy week. I know other things like happened that were just like bad luck, bad luck, bad luck. And hopefully it's lifting and going away. And I was just really like, yeah, happy and proud of myself that I didn't let that emotion bring me down and take me over. And I feel like I have my Titanic listeners and community to thank for that, and my friends. And I kind of just like hermited anyways and just focused on my interview with Jane and seeing Unsinkable and like how privileged I felt to be doing that. So yeah, I don't know. I felt the need to share that. That happened, and kind of gave me a new perspective of like, no, this is important and you guys are important. So, all right, enough about me. Let's talk about Unsinkable, which at this time has been nominated for Best Picture at the Pasadena International Film Festival, rightly so. I do not know if winners have been announced. I will check that shortly. But they were nominated. So they are an award-nominated film, which is amazing. I know that they have other nominations from other films, or from other film festivals. So it was really great to be there. There was a great turnout of people. It was in the middle of the day. I had done my interview with Jane and then grabbed some lunch and popped over. And Jane was lovely to introduce me to a bunch of people. I got to meet Cody and Brian Hartman, and I got to meet, I already had met Jen Kay. She is their marketing and like PR, all of the above. Like, this girl is obviously, she's multifaceted and amazing. She's with Hawk Hill Pictures, which is their distribution, theatrical distribution and marketing. And she was amazing, super welcoming. I got to meet Cotter, who was also lovely and super wonderful. We'll get into his performance. And there was some other actors that were there. The guy who plays Light Toller, he was there. And that was really cool to see. Like, I was like, oh, my God. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey. So he lives here locally in L.A. Of course, he went. And it was really great. They did a Q&A, and I really enjoyed it. I feel really lucky to be there, and I'm really grateful that everybody was so, so welcoming. So in this part two, we are going to talk about Unsinkable and my first reactions and things that I liked, couple things that I was like, not that I didn't like them, I wanted more of. There was a lot of things that really stood out to me. There was a lot of performances that stood out to me. And unfortunately, the Q&A was very disorganized. The moderator, it was kind of a little all over the place. And it was really fast. And they were paired up with a short film called 72, which was really good. Very good. Their short film was about immigration, and Unsinkable has very heavy themes of immigration. So they were a great block together. I do wish both of them just had more time to talk about the themes of those. That was not possible. They were really just like pushing us out of there to get the next block going. So it just really stinks that they didn't, the Pasadena International Film Festival team didn't really keep on top of that. And if I worked there, I would have kept on top of that. And if they're looking for a moderator for next year, I would happily moderate all of your Q&A panels, because I would keep it moving. There was no audience questions until the very end, and we didn't even know we were allowed to ask questions until some people like raised their hand, and I was like, oh my God, I have an entire notepad of like questions that I had. I was writing in the dark, which are like weird little scribbles like Fleet Justice and Bride Sad Face, also Ismay Slam, like those are some things that I wrote down, which I'll explain the best I can. Oh, I just punched my microphone. Sorry, you guys. Which I will explain the best I can if I know what the hell I was talking about. I will try my best. So I do wish, the Q&A was a little bit better and I had some of my questions answered. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. It was a free movie. I was there on press, so happy to be there. So Unsinkable is Titanic Untold. Also, just an FYI to everybody, when you hashtag Titanic Untold, don't do that, because there is a C-U-N-T in the middle of it. And I hashtagged that everywhere. And a friend of mine from high school, Kaylee Kerberger, ma'am, if you are listening, I was cackling, pointed it out that it said that right in the middle of the hashtag. And now I cannot unsee it. So, just be careful when you guys hashtag that stuff. Like, just do like hashtag Unsinkable Titanic Untold. Otherwise, it's definitely Titanic Cuntold. So, yikes, guys. Not that that's a I don't mind that word, but I know other people get a little squeamish about it. Sorry if you had to listen to it. Beep. Okay. So Ty, Unsinkable Titanic Untold, it runs about an hour and 40 minutes, which I thought was way too short, in my opinion. I think the hype around Unsinkable, like this side of it, is so great that I was like, yeah, let's get into that shit. And I feel like we could have gone deeper into it. Now, working in entertainment, there are various reasons of timing, budget, distribution cuts, all these different things. There is a myriad of other reasons why the film that could have been 3 hours and I would have watched the whole 3 hours was an hour and 40, hour 45. And I think that'll work for them really well, because it keeps your attention the whole time and you're not sitting there wondering like, oh man, do I have time to go to the bathroom? Like, it was like you sit, you watch it, you don't have to go to the bathroom, you don't have to get snacks. So great on that part, boo on my part, because I wanted more. But again, I'm kind of a greedy little bitch, so that might just be me. But director Cody Hartman and producer screenplay writer Brian Hartman did a beautiful job, guys. Like, truly, truly beautiful. And I told them in person, I think I came across like so kiss-assy, because I also work in the industry, but I was like, that's not, like, I truly was like blown away that their like brain magic was like, this is what we're going to do. These are the stories we're going to tell. The question I was going to ask at the Q&A was like, how did you choose which people and perspectives to really focus on when there was so many? There's so many people and so many perspectives that they could have chosen. Like, why choose these? It's easier as James Cameron to create Rose and Jack, and something they really kept, you know, hammering home and totally made sense was like that film is romanticizing the Titanic, and this film is bringing to light another part, obviously, that is untold. And so it's easier for Cameron to focus on Jack and Rose's story and formulate that and do that like on his own, you know? But Cody and Brian had to choose these real people, and real people that have had, you know, a bad rap. We all know what happened to Frederick Fleet, that people left binoculars on his grave, and like, it was just really horrible. Like, really, he was treated horribly for a mistake that was not there was no going back. Like, sorry. There's a line in the film that I believe Mrs. Astor says, or the Contessa, somebody, I forget, says, we had 10 minutes. Like, that's it. We had 10 minutes. We didn't realize we were saying goodbye. And Jane touched on this, you know, in our interview before, but like I said, like, I hadn't seen it yet. And that moment was so powerful. It was so powerful because it was like, oh, shit. Like, they were saying goodbye to their husbands forever. Like, they were not going to say like goodbye and then they don't see them die. They were just in lifeboats not too far off. They could hear their screams. They, you know, the psychological damage that does to a person. You're not thinking straight. Nobody was thinking straight in that moment, or processing or deciding. And I think, you know, people try to plead the case for Ismay. First of all, fuck that guy. I don't care what anyone says. Tried to plead a case with him of like, you know, he didn't know, like he was panicked and it was just a human thing. And I was like, no. And I really like how Unsinkable, they did not let him get off easy, but they didn't fully villainize him because he villainizes himself. And Cotter Senator Smith, just in general, like, is such a cool historical person and key part of Titanic history and as we know it today, and maritime safety, and this man ruined his career for the sake of other people. And there's a really lovely human aspect to him and his wife's relationship. His wife, Nancy Smith, is played by Karen Allen, who you know from Raiders of the Lost Ark. I think she was in Animal House, I think, too, or something I've read. My mom is obsessed with her. Sadly, she was not there. I was hoping I could snap a picture with her or something because my mom loves her. Oh my gosh, she's like, she's so beautiful. She is. She's very beautiful. There's this beautiful, just human moment where Senator Smith is basically practicing his closing statement for these inquiries with his wife. And then that translates to the courtroom. It was really great. It really was like, at the heart of it, it was utterly human and empathetic. And regardless of how hard this man came down on Bride, which I was like, you let this poor man, he is in a wheelchair. He was doing his best on his little dit dit dot radio. Like, you, that scene broke my heart, absolutely broke my heart. I don't know who the actor was who played Bride, but he was fucking fantastic. He broke my soul. And I think that was my, definitely one of my top favorite moments, as well as just, I'm going to get into the top of the film, the opening, because I literally was like holding my breath the whole time. You could have heard a pin drop in the theater. It was amazing. Another scene that just really broke me was their interpretation of Ida and Isidore Strauss and their exchange. I know we normally see them like on the deck saying these things or curling up together in the bed, or we've seen different interpretations. And in this one, Ida's in the boat, in the lifeboat already. And she's sitting there and she's like, I can't. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? She's taking her life jacket off and giving it to somebody else and taking her jewelry off and giving it to this other woman and was like, take this stuff. Like, I don't need it anymore. And she says the line, it was slightly altered, or maybe this is the correct historical phrase, historical telling, whatever. She says, I've spent my whole life with that man. I'm not going to stop now, I think it is, or I'm not going to change that now. And gut punch, man. I was like, get him. And they just like sit down together and just, you know, enjoy the time that they have left. And I thought that was so beautiful in all the ways that I've seen it. That was the way that I liked the most, because they weren't cowering in bed, like, okay, let's just go to sleep and like let this happen. They were like, nope, we're going to sit here. We're going to take in whatever is around and we're going to connect with whoever else is around. There's also, they cut to an older, first class gentleman clearly sitting with somebody who is from third class or steerage, and he offers him a sip from his flask. And just those tiny little details throughout the movie are like, just made me really love it, because what Cody and Brian are talking about and why they chose this, which it is adapted from a play, which I didn't know. It's called Titanic to All Ships. Sorry, I'm reading my chicken scratch writing here. Titanic to All Ships. And I guess it was a stage play. And so they based this film adaptation on the play, which kind of like answered the question of like, why did you pick this? Like, what, you know, they were like, let's dive in more to the details and the human and really bring it to life on screen for other people to see, which is great. I said I was going to get into sorry, guys, I have to move this earring around. It hurts really bad. Okay. I said I was going to get into the opening scene. We've all seen like some sad Titanic footage that makes us be like, oh my God, I can't. I've never felt the sick, absolutely sick to my core feeling than what I felt when this film started. Starts in darkness, gives us a little perspective of where we're coming in on, what's going on, and bitch, it is dead silent until you hear the groaning of the ship. That just like feeling and like sound of it just sinking and breaking and groaning and getting pulled, and there's no like screams, nothing. It's just the groaning of the ship. And my first thought was, I'm going to throw up. And my second thought, in like a good way, and my second thought was, oh my God, I'm going to be so unwell and I didn't bring any tissues. And then you see what's going on and there's people in the water and it's the sinking and people are getting in boats and stuff. And then it cuts to Jane's character, Maggie Malloy, sitting at her desk as the admin and assistant to Senator Smith, sitting at her desk just sobbing. And I don't want to say ugly crying, because she's not ugly. It's like the most beautiful cry I've ever seen. Like, she truly was like just this heartbroken lady. And you're just like, oh, so right away it's got you like, oh my God, no. And she's crying because she's reading about what had happened. And Senator Smith comes in and he's like, what are you talking about? And she shares, and she's got her lip quivering and she can't like breathe. Oh my God, it was so good. I was like, Jane, okay, first of all, I liked you because I interviewed you and you're like a pretty cool chick, but then you're like talented as fuck. Like, you're really talented. And now that you have a visa for projects, I really hope that you are here in LA more and you get to be in a lot more films here, because your work needs to be shared and seen, because you are a true gem and a true talent. And that was a great scene. Yeah, there's so much, guys, and I don't want to give away like all the things, because I want people to see it. If you haven't seen it yet, first of all, sorry, because I just told you a bunch of stuff. Second of all, stop listening right now and go see it. Try to find it. If otherwise, stop listening to this right now and then come back and listen to me after you've seen the film, because it really is impactful. The ship sounds was crazy. I loved, you see the survivors return off of the Carpathia, which I don't know that I've seen it in Titanic media, film and media. And you really see it, and you see like people like not knowing where to go, and they're like, have you seen so and so? And they're like grabbing each other, being like trying to find their people and stuff. And it's like, oh my God, I didn't think about the chaos that they didn't just get picked up by the Carpathia and everyone was like, okay, cool, well, we made it. Sucks we lost our husbands and babies, maybe. And, like, God knows whoever else. Like, ooh. Like, no, they were, like, on the ship mourning and then dropped in a different country where most of them did not speak English. A lot of them, like, they were coming there, the breadwinners of their family, of, like, why they were going over there, have just perished in the Atlantic. Like, what the fuck? Like, their world is absolutely rocked. And from my memory, this is the first time that I have seen anything in Titanic media like that. And it hit. I was like, oh shit. It hit so much that I wrote it down with 4 exclamation points and I spelled Carpathia correctly in the dark. So good for me. Next thing I wrote was Ismay. Sorry, I just choked to death. Okay. Ismay slam. I don't exactly remember the phrase that this was for, but Senator Smith says something to Bruce Ismay where he's like, something about taking the spot of like a woman and child, and like, I don't even remember what it was. I got to go back and see it. But I truly was like, oh, burn, bitch. Like, get him. I don't remember what it was, but it was a really good one. If someone listening remembers what that line is, because more people have seen that, get it out there. I think that will be a clip that will go around, because I for sure was like, yeah, deserved. Because he sucks and I hate him a lot. I talked about Bride and how his questioning in the inquiries is so fucking sad. Like, I get Senator Smith, like, had to really come down on him again, caught her a beautiful job. Like, we both loved and kind of were like, yo, bro, lay off. And Bride was one of those people where it was like, dude, give him a break, please. Like, this kid is like 20, maybe. I don't know how old Bride was, but it was very sad. That was really hard to watch. There are scenes of people in the water trying to survive, of recounting people pushing their heads under. Now, this is in Titanic Voices, which I still haven't finished yet because that is a big ass book, and it's so hard to read. I can read like 3 of the recounts from people, and then I have to like put it down and like cleanse, because I was like, this shit is sad. There's a I don't want to give anything away. There's a moment where a man is fighting for his life in the water because somebody is pushing him down, and he describes that he got away and he tries to board a lifeboat, but there isn't room, and they only allow him to board when someone else on board has frozen to death. And they drop this other person's corpse into the water right alongside this guy who's about to take his place in the boat. And that was awful. Really good, but really awful. And like, that kind of extent of stuff. Like, there's a lot of that in there where you're like, fuck. And then something else happens and you're like, damn. oh, so like you don't feel good leaving this movie. Like, I mean, I don't know anybody who's felt good leaving any other Titanic movie either, but like you really feel like dog shit leaving this movie, but in like a really good way. In a way where you're like, wow, I'm really sorry, my dog decided to shake her little ass.
Hey, hi, puppy. You tooting your little ass around? You tooting your little ass around? Hey.
That's how I talk to my dog. But yeah, really good. That moment was just, yeah, definitely remember it. There is an inquiry where they're talking to Frederick Fleet, and they really are like, this wasn't your fault. Like, you know, you didn't have binoculars. And he was like, yeah. And they were like, were you other place? Have you gotten binoculars? And he was like, yeah, I have. And they were like, and you just didn't get them this time? And he's like, I never got any. So it was like, see, he was not well equipped. He was not well set up. And that was really nice that it was like, it wasn't his negligence. Which is the basis of this whole movie, is whose negligence was it? If there anybody, I still think the captain should have been going slower. Oh my God, they out that people were sending, like bribing, the messenger guys. What am I even saying? They were bribing them to send messages. They were paying them to send messages to their loved ones and like, oh, I'm on the Titanic and doot-doot-doot me. Like, and because of that, important messages weren't being taken and coming through. And I've never heard that before. Maybe that information has been out there and I had no idea, but I didn't know it. And that was real fun to hear. I loved that a lot. Let's see. Oh, okay. Okay. There is a huge monologue that Cotter has that's amazing. And he says in it, you will die because we couldn't provide a better ticket. This bitch comes over and is like, me, 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 in the third class in the steerage. And he's like real sick of everybody being like, well, first class should go first. And that's when he's like, so you're telling me because you didn't have enough money and we couldn't provide you a better ticket, you just deserve to die. That's how this ends. And it was really good. And I was like, yeah, get him. Justice, Batman. It was great. Something about Lifeboat 8 is a big theme in this. I don't know if this is what they were going for. And I know the significance of Lifeboat 8. Everyone kind of knows about it. Who is in Lifeboat 8? The number 8 of that plays a role kind of throughout the film. You'll see that. But I had a thought. The number 8 turned on its side looks like the infinity symbol. And this number 8 from a lifeboat is given to somebody who lost their person. And she kind of looks at it. And I just like thought about it. And I was like, Titanic lives on to infinity and beyond. To infinity. And we talk about it. And we honor it every year. And I don't know if this was like the symbolism behind that or something, but like that's where my mind went, where I was like, number 8 to the side, infinity symbol. We're still talking about it. It's 2024. It's been 112 years. Like, I don't know. It just felt like I liked that symbolism, if that was symbolism. If not, somebody hire me. I have some ideas for symbolism. Okay. What else did I write? Sound. Oh my god. The ship sounds and the mixing and stuff. Sean Jackson, it was the sound designer. Big props to Sean Jackson. Loved it. I don't know how far this film is going to go, but if anybody is getting an Oscar buzz, I think this one should be up for sound design somewhere because I really enjoyed it. And then Scott Glasgow, I actually got to meet him. He was great. He was there with his kid, maybe. And I would assume his child. And so cool. We had a cool conversation about Nearer My God to Thee versus the Autumn Song, and which one is known, obviously, and it's the Song of Autumn. Nearer My God to Thee is the one that everybody knows, but there was another song, and that was Song of Autumn, and so he made sure to include that. Kind of gave me the scoop that there's going to be, like, a soundtrack and stuff in the works, so I think that'll be really good and might end up on my playlist, definitely, for sure. So, yeah, Scott was great. Thank you for talking to me, Scott. If you're listening to this, great work. I really loved it. Guys, I do work in music supervision and licensing. That is my job. So I paid special attention to the sound. I really like that stuff. So I was like, great. And I talked about how it was based on a play, Titanic to All Ships, which I'm very interested in. I'm going to have to read that and hunt that play right down and speak to her. And if somebody does that before me, I know you listened to it and stole my idea. Also, guys, Titanic is copyrighted. That is something I did. So excited. That's a tale for another time. Okay. Scott also, they recorded with the Budapest Scoring Orchestra, and they were phenomenal. He was telling me that they would do things in, like, two takes and, like, got it. Like, they were so good and so easy to work with, and you can tell because the music truly does sound amazing. Okay, that is all I had for my notes. So I did want to get through my notes so I hit all my points, but film-wise overall was great. I think, I don't know, I'm going to predict that IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, all that stuff, hits it at, I'll say 73-75% on Rotten Tomatoes, because they tend to have for a critic score, and I think for an audience score, it might hit 80 because we're those guys. I would say IMDb is going to give it a 7 out of 10. Because I think other people are going to be like, I wanted more. I wanted it longer. And I also think that not everybody's really going to get it. I think it also might be kind of like a laid out the gate flick. But again, it's hitting on anniversary weekend. And because it falls on a weekend, and that's so lucky. And I'm interested to see what their box office return is. Really excited about that. See, this is the shit I like. Like, you work in the film industry and you're like, give me the numbers. So I'm pretty pumped. I want to see this film succeed so bad. I really loved my conversation with Jane. I love talking to and meeting Cotter. Everybody else. Scott was great. Jen was great. Cody was great. Brian was great. Like, everyone was just really, really lovely. And I want all the best for them. I wish Fiona would have been there, who plays a reporter who goes by Richard Allen as the secret name and is actually Elaine Ricard. She's in The Blacklist, which is a show that I do the music licensing for. So I loved that. I kind of wish she was there so I could be like, we work on the same show, but you're an actor and I do the other stuff. She was phenomenal. She gets the shit kicked out of her by like JP Morgan's people, which I was like, what was that about? Maybe I don't know enough and I need to like deep dive in that, but that was a moment where I was like, what was that? Why'd you guys do that? Why'd you show me that? Tell me more. There was moments like that where I was like, whoa, why'd you do that? I like it, but tell me why. I like it. Give me more information. Yeah. So that was one of those moments. She was phenomenal. You could tell that she was probably a lot of fun on set. Guys, I'm blown away. Like I said, I don't want to give absolutely everything away. I have shared quite a few things, and I wish I could remember what that insult to Ismay was. There's some really good shit in this film, and if I was being anybody but myself, I would not be cursing so much through this, but this is me now. Jennifer Lopez. Just kidding. I'm not J-Lo. And that movie is crazy. I really, really, really want the Ismay slam line to come to me. If it comes to me, I'll write it as the caption for this film review. Okay, guys, I'm gonna wrap it up. I haven't eaten dinner. It'll probably be cereal. It's been a crazy few times. But In Singapore was great. Thank you to the cast. I met Jen K for bringing me basically onto your team for the day. Pasadena International Film Festival. Jessica, you're a real one. Thank you for having me there. It was great. Guys, go to the theaters. Go see Unsinkable. It is out as of today. You are listening to this episode, which means it is in select theaters, hopefully a theater near you. If you're in the Knoxville area, they're doing a Q&A today. Reach out to some other podcasters. It's all over the interwebs. Find it, find it, find it. Go see Unsinkable. Get your grandparents to see Unsinkable. Get your dogs to see Unsinkable. Go see Unsinkable. And when you do see Unsinkable, Bruce Ismay is a bitch. Bye. Listening to another episode of Titanic. If you enjoyed this two-parter of Unsinkable Titanic Untold, sound off in the comments, send me a DM, write a review, and don't forget, I have a giveaway, guys. Let me give you free stuff.